Because even on this festival day, we are still in the season of Lent, it is good and right for us to hear the call of the prophet of Joel, "Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love." Amen. You may be seated. Today we are reminded of this great example of the faith of Joseph. And because we are a church that is strongly built upon the Word of God, our message today is from all of the words that Joseph spoke from Scripture. Amen. As you would probably guess, it would be a very short and dull sermon. But the picture that we get of Joseph is that he is a biblical man of action. He is described in various translations of Scripture from Matthew 1 as being faithful to the law, just, or even a righteous man. The fact is, we don't have any of the recorded words of Joseph. We only see his actions. The actions of a man who was just or faithful or righteous, in the same way that all of the saints and patriarchs before him were righteous. They believed and heard the word of God, and it was credited to them as righteousness. Joseph, this biblical man of action, heard the word of God, believed the word of God in the visions and in the dreams and in from angels, and acted upon that word and guarded the Lord of all. The Lord of all who humbled himself to be born of a woman, humbled himself to need the protection of an earthly, fallen, broken man, humbled himself to be under the law, to turn away the condemnation of God from you and from me. But should we really call him the guardian of the Lord? Or maybe earthly father? God could have chosen any other kind of situation to be born into, any other kind of arrangement to protect the Savior. And the Lord could have chosen any other way to protect this one who would take away the sins of the world. He could have chosen any other protector. But what did God choose to do? He chose to have his son born into a family. An imperfect and broken family, but a family. Our Lord had an earthly father who did what all earthly fathers should do: hear the word and do what it says, to hope and trust in the promises of that word that pointed to the coming Savior, the Savior that Joseph would then hold in his arms, and to protect and to guard his family. Joseph did all of this simply trusting that the word of God, the word of the angels in visions and dreams, was true. And the faith-filled response to God's promises was not to dismiss Mary quietly and so put the boy's life at danger. To hear the word of God and to flee to Egypt, to again hear the word of God and return to Judea, only to be told to resettle again in Nazareth. It's no wonder that Joseph was so quiet in Scripture. After having moved all those times, you'd be quiet too. We don't know his doubts. We don't know his frustrations or fears. We only know that biblical man of action. We only know the earthly father who did what all earthly fathers should do: protect and guard their family. And so we too should follow his example as fathers who guard and protect our family that God has entrusted to us. To us is our first and foremost responsibility. Men, all of you here are studying to be in the ministry in one form or fashion or another. Or ladies, you have a husband, or you will have a pastor who is in the ministry in one form or fashion of another. And the biggest danger that we as pastors face, or that your husbands or your pastors will face, is to forget our first calling, and so merely become men of words, and unlike Joseph, not men of action. That we become people who speak those words and proclaim those words to everybody else but our family. It is our first calling, whether you are married now or will be in the future. our first calling to first guard and protect our families. And so what does this mean? It means that like Joseph, we too need to hear the words of God and to believe them and to trust them, to let them have their way with us, let them have their way with our families. So it means that you need to have a time where you read the word, study the word, meditate on the word, and act upon that word through faith with your family. It is not your sermon or Bible study prep time. It is not the time to have an in-depth study of our confessions or a study of the church fathers. There's time for that. It is time to hear the word with your family. And in so doing, guard yourself and them against all the attacks of our enemy, all the attacks of the world, all the attacks of our own sinful flesh against ourselves, our family, and yes, even the ministry. Because, brothers, in the parish, it will come. Our enemy, the devil, is a tricky one. He is very, very subtle in what he does. And he will convince you that your family, your kids, will all get everything that they need because they go to church, because they're in a day school, or they're in Sunday school. After all, they are pastor's kids, and they're in our presence. They're just going to absorb all of this by osmosis, right? Wrong. They need you to be a Joseph to them, to hear the word and act upon it, by training them up in the way that they should go, teaching them to trust in the Lord in whom you trust, even after church meetings, especially after voters' meetings, to help them to trust in the Lord when things are going poorly, and especially when things, in your opinion, are going well. Brothers, take this to heart and hear what I am saying. The church can get another pastor. Your family cannot get another father. And your wife, hopefully, doesn't want another husband. The calling you have is to guard them first in their faith by your action, from your hearing, reading, learning, and marking scripture together, praying together. In this way, God is giving you a place of rest, a place of security, as he did with that holy family. Brothers, the ministry is a wonderful, wonderful gift to be able to proclaim the words of God, to administer God's great gifts of body and blood and baptism. The ministry is a blessing. The ministry is challenging. And sometimes the ministry is wearying. And when your family sees you worn down by all that is involved in protecting and guarding the faith for the church, and they keep coming in second or third or fourth or maybe further, you have not guarded or protected them, but left an empty house or parsonage for them to find their own way to protect themselves. This is not the way of Joseph. It's not the way of those who have been called into the ministry, who are to first and foremost govern their family well. So, brothers, guard your family first. Let them hear the word with you, and then by faith act upon that word with you, so that not just you, but your family can be a biblical family of action. But wait a minute. It's great that you've come here and been here all the way from Decatur. Aren't we first and foremost supposed to guard our doctrine, and in so also guard the church and the words of Christ in our faith? Yes, we are to guard our ministry well because we have been entrusted with these words of life. And it is why your church now, or your church in the future, needs a pastor and a shepherd. But they need a pastor and a shepherd who is in the word for his own sake and for the sake of his family. In guarding and guiding your family, by being a father first, you are a better pastor and a better guardian of the teaching of the faith that you have been entrusted with. We cannot be men of many words and little action. We need to follow the example of Joseph in our families and in our church, and hear the word, believe the word, and act upon that word, because we know who that word is. It is the word made flesh. It is Jesus Christ, God himself, who humbled himself to be born, who on the Mount of Transfiguration set his face like flint towards the cross, so
so that you and I could be delivered from all our failures and all our wrongs. Because, brothers, when you stand here in a pulpit, you realize that you are pointing the finger of God's law at where we have fallen short. And realize that you are also having three fingers pointing back at you. Brothers, I am not here to say that I have attained it. I'm not perfect or a perfect father. And you won't be either, and neither was Joseph. He guarded the one who would one day be his guard against the very condemnation of God, who would stand in the way of God's wrath. Last week's gospel lesson gave us those great Bible verses, I think sometimes the only Bible verses most people ever know. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. You know the rest. But it is that next verse that nails it for us. He did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. There are no words recorded of Joseph, because he wanted us to see very clearly the only thing that mattered. God coming into the world as this child. This child who would turn away God's wrath. This child who would bear the full load of Mary's sin. The child that would bear the full load of Joseph's sin. The child that would bear the full load of your sin and mine. And so our failure of being just men of words and not men of action is swallowed up in the cross. Our debt is paid, our failure forgotten, our stains washed away in the one who took action for us. Jesus, who actively fulfilled the word. Jesus, who fulfilled the law. Who fulfilled his Father's will. Jesus, who is not the guardian of our faith, but the author and perfecter of our faith. So today, where are you? You're probably where I am as I look at my family and my ministry, sorely in need of a word of grace. It comes from the one Joseph protected, the one whose actions he points to. Our Savior, who says to us today in word and sacrament, your sins are forgiven. Your failures are gone. Go in peace. Go feed my sheep. Go guard your family. So now, empowered by that grace, empowered by that word, go be a father to your family first. And in so doing, you guard the ministry that you will be entrusted with. So may the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, now and unto life everlasting. Amen.